We're going to find ourselves this evening. We're going to begin with three passages of Scripture, and so we'll begin in Proverbs 24. I'll give you an opportunity to turn there, and we'll get started in just a moment. Again, there is both a handout with a fill-in-the-blank sheet and also a large sheet, colorful there. And so if you did not get one of those, anybody need one before we get started? All right. You don't have to have one, but as I go through the message, it might be helpful to follow along. We have been dealing with a series entitled Stewarding Money God's Way. And as we think about this subject, it's important. You know, life is about a stewardship. And so as we think about our stewardship, it's important for us to look at our lives as temporary. We're here temporarily. We have a day of birth, and it is certain, unless the Lord tarries his coming, that we will have a day of death. And so we should see ourselves in this life not as possessors, but rather as managers, as overseers, or we could say as stewards, which is the Bible word. And so we've been dealing with some foundational truths. We talked about, I did a lesson on contentment without covetousness, and then I did two lessons. It was one lesson, but broke it up into two evenings on giving. And I want to deal this evening, if you notice in your notes, lesson four, develop a financial plan and abide by it. Now, another word for this is make a budget. And so I want to talk about that. Now, this, as I mentioned here, this might be a little different than I usually preach, but sometimes I think it is necessary and helpful to go through some practical things and practical instruction as we think about our stewardship. Maybe sometimes that's where we fail. We are fine with general truths, but when it gets to the practical, sometimes we shy away from that. But I remember a preacher saying, I remember the quote, I can't remember who it was, but preacher said that nothing is going to be dynamic until it's specific. And sometimes we got to get specific, and it's helpful to us. And so we're going to begin. I want to begin here reading in Proverbs chapter 24. So if you have your Bibles and you're open there in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 and 4. The Bible says here, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now he's talking here about the building of a house and the establishing of a house, and then of the individual chambers within the house. And he mentions three things. He mentions wisdom, he mentions understanding, and he mentions knowledge. And so it's important for us to think specifically. We talked about in the book of Proverbs, knowledge is things that often we gain through experience or through instruction. But wisdom is how we implement the knowledge that we have. The Bible says a wise man useth knowledge aright. And so someone who is wise is not necessarily someone who knows things. Someone who is wise is someone who knows how to implement the knowledge that he has in a way that pleases God. And so we want to be people not just of knowledge, but of wisdom. The Bible says actually knowledge puffeth up. If we get just knowledge, that's all we do with it, we might just be filled with pride and thinking about, oh, look, all the things that I know. And I don't think when we see the Lord, He's going to ask us how much we knew. I think He's going to be specific in what we did. The sort of works. And so, here He talks about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge in the idea of building a house. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 14, Jesus Christ here is teaching, and I mentioned this last week, but He mentions in Luke 14:28. He says this, "For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the what? The cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it. Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now, Jesus Christ here is teaching a truth that is really, I think, practical sense. If you're planning on building a tower, make sure that you know how much all the material will cost you before you begin the project. It would not be a wise thing for you to begin the project having not counted the cost and what is going to be the total expense and you not being able to finish it. In other words, he says you should not expect the tower to be completed if you have not first counted the cost. In Paul's instruction to the church at Corinth, remember he had instructed the believers at Corinth to prepare a gift for the believers in Jerusalem who were dealing with a famine. And so the believers in Macedonia had given a gift. The believers now at Corinth were instructed to give the gift. And Paul writes to them, and he says this in 1 Corinthians 16:2, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come." The idea here is, let everyone lay by him in store. And so there's this idea, there's something coming, there's a need, and so what you need to do is you need to prepare yourself ahead of time to put some funds aside for the things that you plan on giving and for the commitment that you made. And so with those things in mind here, it seems evident as we study the Word of God that we must develop and plan based upon the principles of God's Word. I think that there's an element here where there is maybe a struggle on both ends. You see, once a plan is developed in accordance to God's Word, we can navigate through life with the anticipation that God is going to give direction. You see, having a plan or making a budget is not a lack of trust in the Lord. And having a plan also on the other end is not a substitute for trusting the Lord. And so we have to deal with both aspects here. Because some people say, well, you know, just trust God, don't plan anything, and just God will take care of everything. That's actually, according to the book of Proverbs, that's folly to live that way. But also, we cannot be so consumed with a plan that there's no room to trust God, where we are just completely self-dependent and self-reliant. So there's a balance there. We can have a plan, but we can also trust God. Let me give you a few examples. You remember, the children of Israel, when God says, enter into the promised land, God gave them the promise that the land was theirs. All they needed to do was to take the promised land by the power of God. But God instructed them to prepare themselves for battle. Well, wait a minute. Who's going to fight? Is it the power of God, or do they have to prepare themselves for battle? Both. The children of Israel had to have a plan, but they also had the power of God, being reliant and dependent upon God. The Apostle Paul, we've been talking about this as we've been preaching through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. The Apostle Paul, you remember, he planned out his missionary journeys in obedience to God's command. God says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And so Paul wanted to obey God's command, and so he devised a plan, went on the first missionary journey. He planned out the second missionary journey. Remember, according to his plan, he was planning to go in different directions, and then the Holy Spirit forbade him to go there. Now, when Paul needed God to direct him to specific places, God did that, but the point is that Paul had a plan, but he also followed the direction of God. And so I believe that as believers, we have to have both, and having one should not exclude the other. So, here are some areas that we're going to address in this initial lesson, and then I'm going to build upon, I'm going to deal generally with getting a plan together and what involves in getting that plan, but then we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about how to implement this plan and see if we can take some principles from God's Word and implement those in our lives. We're going to talk about how to deal with debt, how to save money, how to invest and prepare for the future, how to be wise with financial purchases, how to leave an inheritance. By the way, there is a command in God's Word. A faithful man leaves an inheritance to his children and his children's children. and how to also, we're going to talk about live a holy life. So all of those things, by the way, are all dealt with in the Word of God. So you might think this evening, well, you're the pastor, stay out of my financial business. And I say to you that I am going to stay out of your financial business, but I will give you and instruct you into the principles of God's Word. So, with that in mind, we're going to go through the lesson. So you should have your blank. So on the first page here, first of all, let's talk about number one, the mandate for a plan. The mandate for a plan. Now, another word for plan this evening can properly be called a budget. Now, that may be to some people a bad word. Budget. Oh, I'm not interested in budgets. We should not think about budgets. But there is the idea of a budget. Let's think about the biblical terminology is having a plan. Counting the cost before you build the tower. That is something that we ought to be doing. Now, I'm going to give you three areas here as we think about the mandate for a plan. First of all, our life is a stewardship. Therefore, because our life is a stewardship, there is a mandate for us to form a plan. We have already established that our life is to be understood as a stewardship. We are not possessors. We are stewards and managers. That's what the Bible says. Why? Because when we die, we take nothing with us. Job said, I came into this world with nothing, and it is certain that we will leave this world with nothing. That means that everything that comes into our hands is temporary. We are stewards, managers. We take the oversight of what God blesses us with, but we are not possessors. Why? Because when we die, these possessions become somebody else's. They are never permanent. And we must manage what God has entrusted into our care. We should not be careless. I think we all agree. We should not be careless about what God has entrusted to us. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 45, Jesus Christ said, "Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season?" And so the Bible says here, Jesus Christ said that we should be faithful and wise stewards. In the context of that verse, he's talking about anticipating for the Lord's coming, for the Master to come for us. And so we're going to give an account for what? Our stewardship. In Psalm 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." You see, everything that we see belongs to the Lord. Now, I know that people that are outside of the local churches may not view the world that way, but that's what the world is. It belongs to God. Not only the world, but also the Bible says those who dwell on the earth. You see, our life is temporary. We had a day of birth. We will have a day of death if the Lord tarries his coming. That which comes through our hands is, in our earthly journey, has to be diligently cared for. It is no light thing to manage the Lord's goods. It is no light thing to manage the Lord's goods. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 27. In Proverbs 27... Well, I'll be quoting a lot of Proverbs tonight. A lot of those principles come from the book of Proverbs, which is heavenly wisdom for life on earth. And Proverbs 27:23, here's a proverb. "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." Now, I don't think here anybody is a shepherd who has flocks and herds, but back then, that was their wealth. They would trade by sheep. They wanted material. They would trade wool for food. And so that was their wealth. And the proverb here is, "Be diligent to know the state of thy flock." And in the same way today in the 21st century, we should be diligent to know the state of our finances. 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, "It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." The opposite of being faithful is being unfaithful, but we could say the opposite of being faithful would be being careless, being irresponsible, being negligent. No, we ought to be faithful. And so there is a mandate for us as believers to have a plan because we are stewards of that which belongs to God. Stewardship means there has to be a plan. Now we think about the example of Joseph. We already went there, so I'm not going to go there for sake of time. But Joseph was a steward. He oversaw everything in the house of Potiphar. He was the manager. He was in charge of all the servants, everything in the house of Potiphar. And in the same way, we are stewards of that which God has entrusted to us. And so our life is a stewardship. Therefore, we have a mandate. Number two, in your notes there, our life should be in order. Our life should be in order. You see, order in our lives is also of great value. You see, everything that God did in creation had order and structure. God is a God of order. Do we agree with that? He is not a God of chaos and confusion. He is a God of order. And we have to all agree that God has done all things well. God also demands that His people order their lives. 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, now I know this, the context is the church, but this is God speaking to the church at Corinth. He says, let all things be done decently and in order. 1 Corinthians 14:33, He says later, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You see, we have a mandate to form a plan to order our lives because God desires for all things to be done in order. God had a plan in creation. God had a plan in redemption. God has a plan for the end of the ages. And I know that we are not sovereign beings. And to a large extent, we cannot control things that might happen in our lives, or there's a lot of things that are out of our control. However, there are many things that we can control and that we can order. And so let's focus on those areas where we can control and that we can order. And one of those areas is our finances. Number three, our life should be planned. Now, to live our lives without a plan is folly. They said, that is strong words. I know, I'm going to read you a verse in just a moment. It has been said by many that if you do not learn to control your money, the money will soon control you. You can either master your money or your money will master you. We will either learn to master our lives and our finances, or we will find our lives and our finances to be masters over us. One of the best ways to plan our life is to have a budget. It is to work within a budget that also plans for the future that can be realized. Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll read verse 6 through 8. You may know those. I remember this verse because my dad quoted that to me often. Proverbs 6, verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So here it is. What the ant does is considered wise. Now, what does the ant do? Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Now, why would the ant do that? Because there's going to be a time of, if you would, drought when there's less food. And so the ant knows, I have to work in the summer. Why? Because the winter months are coming and there's going to be no food then. So I'm going to provide for myself in the present, but I'm also going to prepare for the future. And God says, consider the ant that is wise. And so we should do the same. Proverbs 21:20 says this. Turn there. Let's all turn there. Proverbs 21:20, another verse. The Bible says here, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. So here's what the Bible says. It is folly to gain and to spend it all. What does that mean? Not prepare for the future. All you get, you spend. That, according to the Bible, is folly. You see, we have a mandate to plan for the future because it is unwise not to think about it. And furthermore, if you think, says, well, you know, the government will take care of me. No, they will not. God never said, entrust to somebody else your future. He says, you prepare yourself for your future. You see, it is only a fool who spends all of his portion in the impulse of the present. You see, the mandate to have a plan does not make void our dependence upon the Lord. Now, some would argue that having a plan and preparing for the future means that we do not trust the Lord to provide for us. Such a statement, I believe, is nonsense. On the other hand, there are those who worry so much about the future that they do not allow room for God to be trusted. And so, either way, we don't want to be in either one camp. We want to be balanced. We want to, yes, trust God, but we also want to prepare for the future. And I've spoken to a number of older preachers and people who've spoken to older preachers, and there used to be a mentality among preachers that, well, I'm going to serve God, and many of them, part of that was opting out of Social Security, right? We don't want the government to take care of us in the future. But what they also did not do is they did not prepare for their retirement. And so now there are many preachers who are in their 60s and their 70s. They can't pastor the church anymore and have no income because they didn't prepare for the future. And they should not be an imposition on the church, because I've seen those problems many times where then a pastor has not prepared in the church because the pastor has pastored there for so many years. They feel indebted to the pastor, and so they take care of him even in their retirement with a full salary, and then they can't pay another pastor who comes in with a full salary. And I say that that is folly. It is a foolish thing to do that. You say, wow, you're saying that to preachers? Yes, I'm saying that to preachers. And by the way, because I know some older preachers who say, I regret it. I should have never done that. And so we understand that there's a balance between trusting God but also planning for the future. We should, and by the way, if the perspective is, well, the churches will take care of me, how is that any different than saying, well, I won't worry about the future because the government will take care of me? That's not any different at all. It's the same thing. So we should be diligent to develop a plan, and we also should trust the Lord as we work out the plan. So that was the first one there in your notes. The mandate for a plan. Number two, let's go into more specifics. Let's talk about the description of the plan. Now, by the way, some of you may already know all this stuff, and that's fine. I hope that you're teaching your children those things. And also, we have to be aware sometimes that you may know some things for a long time, but we should never assume that everybody knows and that everybody has been taught in those things. And so it's necessary for us, my goal as a pastor is I want you to live a life, yes, in dependence upon the Lord, but also in peace and harmony. And often Christians put themselves in financial messes that they by their own doing, there's self-inflicted pain and suffering in their lives because of financial decisions that they made. And so that can affect many people also spiritually. So let's talk about number two, the description of the plan. Now, we call a financial plan, there's the word, budget. A budget consists of making a written plan by giving an assignment to every dollar that comes in. There are two parts in a budget to consider. There is the income side and the outgo. The income could also be called your cash flow, And the outgo could be called your expenditure. Now, if you look here on, if you have this sheet, the monthly budget for, now this would be the month. And so notice at the top in the green, there's two colors on this sheet. In the green is the cash flow or the income. In the red is the outgo or the expenditure. And so in a budget, those are the two main areas of a budget. The money that comes in, the money that goes out. And at the end, notice, with all the, you begin here on with the overview of the budget, you have the income, and then you subtract all the expenditures or the outflow for that month, and then you see how much you have left over at the end of the month. And so the budget has those two main components. Income, outgo, the cash that flows in, and the expenditures that flow out. Now, it is good knowledge to know how much is coming in and how much is going out. You see, furthermore, it is wise and common sense for the outgo to be less than the income. There are two fundamental reasons why people typically spend more than they bring in. Number one, either they don't know the income to outgo ratio. Now, what I mean by that is somebody may know what comes in, but they may not know how much goes out or where it goes. And so they don't know the ratios. If I could ask you the question this evening and said, what is your income to outgo ratio, what would you tell me? At the end, you have to say, well, this is how much money I have left over. This is my ratio. This is how much money comes in, how much money goes out. And what comes in should always be more than what goes out. The second reason why people don't typically have issues is that they don't implement a plan to limit the outgo or the expenditure. So either there is a lack of knowledge of the ratio from income to outgo, or they don't implement a plan to limit the outgo. Let me just say this very plainly. Do not follow the example of the U.S. Congress for your finances. Okay? If this is their income, this is their outgo. That is not a good formula. That's a recipe for disaster. And by the way, disaster is coming. You can't be responsible forever. Sooner or later, it's going to come back to bite you. Now, when that's going to happen, I'm not going to predict that. But I'm just saying it's not a good formula. And so, be knowledgeable about the ratio of income to outgo, but also implement a plan to limit the outgo to remain under the income. Now, the first area is income or the cash flow. Now, your income is also called your cash flow. This is how much money is coming in. Now, most people know how much money they make. That is not an issue typically. The issue is found in how to view one's income. We are not guaranteed our income next year. I think that's certain. We don't know what's going to happen. Unexpected things may happen in a year's time. We are required, however, to manage what is currently in our hands. So we should be thinking about two areas with our income. First of all, I think that's your blank there. Yeah, first of all, we should use our income to meet our present needs. First, we should use our income to meet our present needs. And secondly, we should use our income to prepare for our future needs. We should use our income to prepare for our future needs. So when we think about our cash flow, our income, what is it for? It's for mainly those two things, to meet our present needs and also to prepare for the future. Now, as I mentioned here, in Proverbs 21:20, the Bible says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. In other words, there's nothing left. So he may use it for his present, but then he spends it all and there's nothing for the future. Proverbs 22:3 says this, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. As believers, we have to see, we have to have foresight and say, you know what, things may happen. So for example, it'd be good for us to have what some people would refer to as an emergency fund. Why? Because sometimes things just happen. Unexpected. The car breaks down. Sometimes it can be $2,000-$3,000 sometimes. But also there's perhaps preparing for events that may happen in the near future. And we could also think about, right, our retirement so that we're not dependent on somebody else for our finances. And so there's the perhaps the immediate future, but then also the long-term future. And a believer, someone who is wise, is someone who sees and knows these things are coming. Now, let's just take a survey here. How many of you have had car issues before? Would you raise your hand? That's 100% of people. How many of you those cars issues happen unexpectedly? Would you raise your hand? Okay, right. They never happen when you want it to happen. The point I'm making is that we know that's going to happen. And somebody that's wise foresees the evil and hideth himself. What is the idea? He prepares himself. There's a day of evil that might come. And by the way, that's not trusting God. It's preparing because we know certain days sometimes can come. We think even of the retirement, all the health issues sometimes that may accompany the older age. And it's good for us to prepare ourselves and not to be a burden on our children who may take care of us in the future and say, well, I didn't save up anything, so you take care of me. Now, I wholeheartedly believe that a person should take care of their parents in their old age. And so in their elderly years, as my dad would say. And so my dad says, if you ever put me in a nursing home, I'll kill you. And so I said, I'll take care of you. I will. And so we should use our income not only to meet our present need, but also to prepare for our future needs. It is a foolish man that spends all his substance at once. The simple man does not foresee evil that is coming. I remember when I was in Tennessee and worked, when I went to Bible college, and I worked at a warehouse, and all my coworkers, most of them were not, you know, believers, but they would get their paycheck every Friday. And they would do the same thing every Friday. They would spend it up. They'd leave from work, and every Friday, I knew where they were going. We got the check so we can spend it up. That is folly. That is folly. By the way, working there 4 years, I had the opportunity to see when things happen that are unexpected in their lives. And they said, oh, I don't have any money. I said, well, I've seen what you've done for the last 4 years. Well, as believers, we should be wise. So there's the income or the cash flow, but then there's the second area, and that is the outgo or the expenditure. Your outgo is also called your expenditures. This is how much money is going out. While most people know how much money they make, they don't know precisely how much money is going out. If you look here at this sheet, notice the income is small area up here. The expenditure is all here and all here. And so there's a whole lot more thought that has to go into the expenditure than has to go into the income. It's always easier to know what's coming in. It's not as easy to determine what's going out. And so that's why we need a budget. We need to know where the money's going. And we need to be wise in implementing biblical principles. Now, Proverbs 27:23, I read the verse earlier, says this, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds." So, the idea is, you have to look, you have to be wise, and know where you stand financially. You must know. You must have the answers. No one. If somebody came to you and said, how much money do you make? You would be able to tell them. And then how much money is going out? You would say, that's amount. You should know that. And if you don't know, you say, well, we're in the red every month. And you don't know the specifics of where the money is going. That indicates trouble. So there are two important aspects to the outgo that we must consider. First of all, that's your blank there. First, The outgo must always be less than the income. The outgo must always be less than the income. And secondly, the outgo must always be assigned by priority. The outgo must always be assigned by priority. Now, I try to do this here on this monthly budget sheet. If you think about, if you look at this priority, I try to put those things in order of priority. Now, after the income, the first thing is giving. Now, I believe that's the priority because God takes the priority in our lives. So that's why that's first. But then housing, food, and clothing. That's the necessities of life that Jesus Christ talked about. And so that goes out first. In other words, what I'm saying is, if, and we'll talk about that later, but if you're in so much debt, you say, well, I have to pay the credit card bill, I have to pay this loan. The priority is not that. The priority is shelter, clothes, and food. That's the priority. And if you can't meet those other peripheral things, then you can attack those later, but those are the priority. Then you have, a transportation. Then we have debt. Now, debt, the reason why it's there before saving is because you shouldn't really be saving if you owe somebody else money. Now, I know that the credit card age is you have a credit card, but again, you're using somebody else's money that you promised to pay back. That is a commitment that you made. Now, you may not have a signature on a stack of 20,000 pieces of paper, but the point is you agreed to pay it back. And so you should not amass wealth for yourself until you've fulfilled your responsibilities to those whom you are indebted to. The Bible says the borrower is slave to the lender. And you can try to not pay them back and delay that, but you're a slave to them until you pay that back. Then there's the saving category and then personal, and then the final overview. Now, let me give you here. If we are working hard to make money, we should be working just as hard to take good care of the money that's going out. Failing to plan out our expenditures is a disregard for your work. You see, it makes no sense to spend 40 to 60 hours a week making money and little to no time to plan to spend it. And so we see here the description of the plan. There's two main components to a budget. Well, let's talk about, thirdly, the implementation of the plan. So when I'm saying the implementation, I'm saying you have to develop a plan and then you have to implement a plan or a budget. And by the way, that's hard work. It's hard work. It takes a lot of work. And for the first several months, you will most likely need to make some adjustments on your budget. Why? Because you're discovering where the money's going. You may not know where it's going. Don't be discouraged if you miss the mark. On the first month, say, well, I didn't meet the budget. Make the adjustments that you need, learn from your mistakes, and make the appropriate changes. Proverbs 21:5 says this, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. This is the idea here, is the thought of the diligent, those who give thought and are diligent, that tends to what? Plenteousness. When you pause, when you think, when you prepare, when you give thought about, when you are diligent in an area, let's think about money management. When we are diligent, that tends to plenteousness. When we organize ourselves, we're going to find ourselves making a wise use of our funds and then having more left over. It tends to plenteousness. And by the way, there's something that happens when we make a budget and we see that money and we write it down when it goes out and then we see it inching closer to the zero at the end, and we're thinking, oh, I don't have as much money. If you don't have a budget, you don't know. You just keep swiping that card, you just keep buying things, and you don't care what the end result is. The Bible says, but everyone that is hasty, his life only tends to want. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. You want to be a beggar one day? Just talk about planning, talk about ordering your life, but never do it. In labor there is profit. It's going to take a lot of work to formulate a budget and to get your life in order. And there's profit in that. But the talk of the lips, that tendeth to penury. So you may have a good goal and say, I'm going to do it. But if you never do it, you end up at the same place. So let me give you the steps here to take to form a budget. I'll give you a new example here. Now, you may already have something. If you have a budget, you may already have something, and that's great. There are some online resources that people use that I know are good. You can write it down, pen and paper. You can put a spreadsheet out on a computer, whatever you want. But here is an example. I think it's good to have an overview of your financial state. And so that's what this is. That's what it is. You can see on one piece of paper without having all those papers and everything around, but to have your financial overview on one piece of paper. So let me talk about this. First of all, step number one, I think that's in your blanks there. So step number one, determine how much money you have, not how much money you wish you had. Determine how much money you have, not how much money you wish you had. Now, those steps here, I took that from Brother Dave Olson's book on, I can't remember what the title of the book is, but I took those steps from his book. I thought they were good. So the first one is determine how much money you have, not how much money you wish you had. Now, look, this is important because if we act like Congress, we spend money we don't have. We have to get to the place where we say, okay, how much money do I have, and keep myself within the boundaries of my income. That's the first thing we have to determine. And so on your monthly budget sheet, up top, on the top left-hand side, is your income. In the income section is a list of various income sources that should be listed. Now, whether it is a repetitive salary income or an irregular if you're self-employed income. You can also list a side hustle that brings additional income, whatever. You can put different things and then fill in the blanks. Sometimes people will have different sources of income. Sometimes people have a pension, or sometimes somebody has an inheritance that's given out little incrementally over time. So you can add those things in there. But the point is you have to get a view of what comes in every month. Step number two is make a list of all the things for which you need money and put them into categories. Now, if you see here, there are, there's nine categories, but eight of those are expenditures. One of those is income. So notice here, going in order, first of all, you list your income. Then you have your giving. Then you have your housing, then food, clothing, transportation, debt, savings, and then other personal things. And then you have an overview. So if you look here, let me give you a description of, first of all, as you make a list of all those categories. And by the way, your categories may be different. But that's, I think, a good separation. What you want to do is you want to organize, spread out. And sometimes when it's detailed, it's simplified, particularly when you spend the money. If you have maybe a general budget that says, well, I just got two budget items, income, outflow, and everything goes in that category. Well, the problem is sometimes you may spend too much money in one area, but there's then you won't be able to meet the liability in another area. And that's going to be that might be a problem. So the giving, notice, giving should always be first in the heart and mind of believers. It is always appropriate to first acknowledge God with our first fruits. Now, that's a Bible principle found throughout the Old and the New Testament. The giving category will include the tithes, the offering, and any other benevolent giving. You can include that in the giving. Then, you have housing. Now, within the housing category, the following expenditures will be found. You can follow those there on your sheet. You will have your mortgage, or if you don't have a mortgage, your rent. You have that payment, the electric bill, the water bill, the gas, the oil, the trash, the insurance, the internet, the phone, the cable, and any other housing related items. Now, typically, most of those things come out once a month. Some of them may not be the same. For example, our trash comes quarterly. The bill is paid quarterly. But what I do is, I know the payment, I think it's $104 a quarter. Well, I add the total for the year and I divide it by 12. And then I put that in that category. Then there is the food. Now, the food, within the food category, the following expenditures will be found. You have groceries. If you do restaurants, you could go to the restaurants or special events and any other food-related items. Then you have, you could just say, well, that's food. So everything that includes whether we go, the point is, I'm just giving you an example. Then you have the transfer or the clothing. Clothing category can be divided by family members or parents and children. Then you have transportation. By the way, you know, when you have six children, the children's clothing may be a little higher than the parents' clothing. All right, because I think we've reached our say we've grown up, and pretty much we have enough clothes now to last us hopefully a while. But they change, I think, weekly, and they outgrow shoes and socks and clothes. Now the advantage is that there's four girls, and so we just pass a lot of those items down. But the point is, if you have those costs, put them in the budget. Then transportation. Now, within the transportation category, the following can be found. A car payment. Now, you could put the car payment in debt or put it there. It doesn't matter. But the point is, you need to know where it goes. Gas, auto insurance, maintenance, and other transportation-related items. Now, by the way, you have to do regular oil changes for your car if you want to keep a car lasting long. And so that's going to come, you know, depending on how much you drive, twice a year up to maybe four times a year to do the oil changes. And so whether you do it yourself or you have somebody do it, plan for that in the budget. You can also go to debt. Now, here the debt, these debts can also be called liabilities. A liability is a financial responsibility for something with respect to the law. If you don't pay this liability, somebody's going to come after you. So, within the debt category, the following expenditures will be found. You may have credit card or credit cards, a car loan or overdue bills, maybe a hospital bill, something like that, or taxes or any other loan can be listed on that. Then you have the savings category. Within that, you can plan for retirement. If you have children, maybe a college fund. If you plan a vacation next year, plan, save, put money aside for that vacation. If you are renting a house, you want to purchase a house, you have to put a down payment. Plan in your budget. So we're going to put this much money aside to purchase a house in a year or 2 years, whatever it is. Set a plan and seek to live by the plan. If you have, even if you are planning, I think any big purchase, you can plan for that. Any other upcoming major purchases, that's a good thing to save for those things. And then personal, notice that this could be very varied here, but this could include maybe something as life insurance. Now, again, somebody would say, oh, you don't trust God, so you have life insurance. Well, I do have life insurance. Not for me, but for my family. The Bible says, he that provides not for his own is worse than an infidel. Now, I thought about that some years ago, and I thought, what if I die? What happens to my family? Now, my wife says, don't talk about it. I don't bring it up to her. I'll bring it up tonight. But the point is, if something happens to me, I want my family to be cared for. And if I don't do that, according to the Bible, I'm worse than an infidel. Well, I'm dead, so it doesn't matter. I want them to be cared for. But I'm trusting God. I don't want to die. But if I do, peradventure, I want my family to be cared for. You could put health insurance, or even if you go to school, right? If you homeschool or send your children to a school, whether it's a private school, you may have costs there, or homeschool, there will be costs there. Plan that out. Any type of entertainment or miscellaneous or others. Basically, if you have other things, we say, you know, miscellaneous for us is, well, every once in a while you have to buy a toothbrush and somebody, well, set up an amount of money every month for those random items that you know don't come every month, but every once in a while. And so at the end, so if you look at the budget, here's the overview. So in the income, you add all the income, and in the green, you put the total income. And then you go through each category of expenditure and you add those, and at the bottom in the red box you put the total expenditure for that category. And then at the end, when you look at the overview, you bring down every total expenditure for each category and their number there, and you put the income and you subtract each category with the expenditure, and then you put the total in the green box. And by the way, it should always, there's a purpose, it's green all the way down. Why? Because it should always stay green. It should never go into the red. And then at the bottom, you can see ending balance at the end of the month. That should always be green. And so this is kind of a plan where you can have a full overview of, in modern terms, right, the state of your flock. Your financial layout. So, step number three, let me give you the steps, I mentioned those. But step number three, there is prioritize your financial obligations. Prioritize your financial obligations. So as a parent, for me, for my family, is housing, food, right? So shelter, food, clothing, transportation. And then those other things come after that. Debt, savings, and then other personal items. So that's step number three. Prioritize your financial obligations. Step number four, assign dollar amounts that you will spend on each category. Assign dollar amounts that you will spend on each category. That's step number four. Now, those may be adjusted from month to month. But the point is, you have to get a plan. And once you have a plan, you say, oh, well, the groceries, I thought we only spend $500 a month on groceries, but you find you spend $1,000 a month. So what you can do then for the next month is, all right, we'll set apart $1,000 a month, and then we'll have to take away from another category. You see that? At least you know, okay, here is the priority. We have to have the food, so we'll take away from another category that's not as important. And so when you have a budget, you can see how you can move around money. But if you don't have a budget, you don't know where to move the money. You just keep spending it. Step number five, keep track of the dollar amount spent on each category. Now, a way you could do that is you could just have a sheet and you can put at the top groceries. And every time you come home from buying groceries, you write down, let's say you have $500 for groceries for the month of, August. You come back with a receipt, $63. So you'll put 500 minus 63 and then you put the total. And then every time you come home with a receipt, you mark it down. You see as it nears the zero mark. So you know how much money you have left. The point is you organize yourself, you prepare yourself, you keep track of the dollar amount you spend on each category. Step number six, learn to stop spending when you run out of money in that category. Now, it could be if you need food, you got to get food. Take away from another area that's not important, like entertainment. All right? And if it gets to the point where, I have this credit card payment and I have to feed my family, feed your family. Take care. You call the credit card company and says, I got to feed my children. I can't pay it this month. But as soon as I can, I will pay it. But you got priorities. Then, step number seven, trust God to meet your needs. I do not think it is appropriate for us to say, I trust God, but not have a plan. I do not think that is appropriate. Oh, I'm trusting God, where's the money going? I don't know. That is not wise. You see, when we learn to be faithful with what we have, God may entrust us with more. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. I don't believe that we're here to get rich. But if we learn to be faithful with what we have, God may entrust us with more. You see, if we mismanage what God has already entrusted to us, why would He entrust us with more? Jesus said in Luke 16:10, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. Could it be maybe that we're keeping God from blessing us because we're being unfaithful with what we have? God wants to maybe entrust us with more, but maybe we're not faithful. Until we are faithful in the least, and when we are faithful in the least, God can entrust us with more. So as we see here, this is not something that I gave you for you to do personally. You may have your thing, and if you have something, that's wonderful. But if you don't have a plan, this is just an example. Something that where you can have an idea. Here is our income. Here is our expenditures. And it would be a wise thing to know the state of your financial situation. You see, God is not going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. Let me say this in closing. There are people who go through difficult times. There have been times when people have been generous towards me. And so there are times when people go through difficulties and they need help, whether it is financially or with food and those areas. And so we understand that there are times like that, and that's not what I'm talking about. You see, we trust God and God will meet our needs in difficult times. But we must be very careful not to bring difficult times upon ourselves. We must be very careful not to bring those difficult times upon ourselves. That's why the Bible says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider the ways. Be wise, consider what the ant does. Prepare food in the summer. Why? Because the winter months are coming. And so, may the Lord help us to be wise stewards.